Welcome back to the Driveway Beers Podcast with Mike and Alex. As always, we appreciate you listening. Please rate us on all the podcast platforms. Like, subscribe, comment, share wherever else you're listening, and enjoy the show. Welcome back to another episode. We appreciate you coming back. As always, please like, subscribe, comment, and share. Want to thank Adam Chubbuck of Team Alpha Charlie with Douglas Realty, TechMD.com in Pasadena, Maryland, for sponsoring this show. Fed didn't change interest rates, so they, of course, went up, oddly enough. Fed signaled they're going to drop some rates here in the second half of the year, at least. So what does that mean for you? Sounds like gobbledygook to me. But what it means for you is you need to find a qualified real estate agent with an Adam Chubbuck to navigate you through the real estate market and the mortgage market at this time. He's got a team ready to help you, but you always have access to him. He's going to treat your money like it's his money, and therefore you know you're going to get the best deal possible. Head over to TechMD.com, call Adam, set up your appointment if you're looking to buy or sell a home right now. Going to be an interesting episode. So we're going to talk NHL. We've done a lot of top five episodes, and we're going to kind of go along that path. But so just so you know, Mike and I, the only thing we said to each other was we should do a top five NHL episode, but we didn't really kind of dig into how this was going to go. So we're going to hash this out as we go.
Should be super organized. Like all of our shows.
Well, and so fandom is like really, really polarizing for some people. There was a post on Twitter, and it was kind of like saying the difference between NBA fans versus Major League Baseball fans, and how people talk about the greatest of all time in both sports. And it was like if you talk about, if someone says their favorite player is LeBron in the NBA, or the best player of all time is LeBron, someone says Jordan, it immediately sparks this, like, you know, what are the gangs from West Side Story? The Jets and the Sharks?
Yeah.
It's immediately everyone goes to either the Jets or the Sharks to fight for LeBron.
Or Jordan.
Or Jordan.
Yeah.
And then you get like a couple stragglers. One's going to talk about Kobe. Then you get some old school guys that are going to talk about Wilt.
Yeah.
Or Bill Russell, because he's got more championships than any of them. Then you get the ones talking about Magic and Bird, but they all are in their camps, mm-hmm. especially the LeBron and the Jordans.
And people get, even people who aren't like super basketball, like, so somehow, like everything, politics ruins sports again. And I have friends who are like lean more left, and they, without question, they all are LeBron people. And I don't get, and it could be just, this could just be anecdotal, this could be in my little narrow segment of friends, and but it seems like more of my right-leaning people are Jordan people, and my left-leaning people are LeBron people. And if you go and say, if you tell them, you know, well, hey, you know, the NBA doesn't play defense anymore, that's why LeBron, that's racist, or that's, I'm like, what?
You're talking about sport dominated by black guys in both eras.
Right.
But you're racist for saying they don't play defense in this era.
And they don't.
Right.
So, you also don't call traveling anymore.
Okay. So there are some, I don't have TikTok, but a lot of TikTok videos end up on either Twitter or Facebook somehow, or Instagram. And there's like a couple of guys out there that do like the NBA, like the traveling memes. Mm-hmm. Although not memes, like videos. And the guy was like, he bounced the ball, held it, bounced it, held it, bounced it. Like just standing there, just not dribbling, right? And so he mocks the person that does it, but then showed the live video of the person doing it. Mm-hmm. So like, all that's not worth happening. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah,
he was like mimicking it exactly.
Yeah, so I think I've seen that guy. He takes a clip from an actual NBA game and then mimics the move with nobody around him. And you're like, dude, that's 100% of travel. That's 100% of double dribble. But a lot of them, like the clip from the NBA game, the official standing like right there,
right,
and doesn't call it. And you know, it's, and not to get too far into NBA, and I've never been an NBA fan, in full disclosure.
Me either.
I'm not a big basketball guy. When I watch it, I prefer to watch college basketball. But we took the kids to a Wizards game over the Easter break, and I've never been to one. And so I get in there. If you were to have never, if you know anything about the NHL or the NBA, and your only exposure to either sport was through the Capitals and the Wizards, you would think that the Capitals were, the NHL was the bigger league, and the NBA was like this sideshow, just based upon the energy and the in-game entertainment and the fans, everything at between the two games. The Capitals are still selling games out. The Wizards, I mean, it was $22 a ticket to get. It was set in the 400s. But so those same seats at a Caps game are $75.
Right.
Because they were right center court or center ice. Those tickets are a lot more money for the Capitals. There's more energy. Like, it's loud. It's fun. The Wizards game, I was sitting there, I'm like, this is just not. Most people who are there around us are on their phones. Like, no one's cheering for this team. Now,
they're awful.
The Stark, right. I think they're 14-69 or something. I mean, it's a terrible record. But the stark difference when you look up, the reason why the two teams are like this is hanging in the rafters. The Wizards, which were then the Bullets, won a championship in 1978, and the Capitals won one in 2018. So you're looking at, like, the Wizards have not been relevant in 50 years. Essentially, their entire existence, they have not been relevant. I think, and when you look around the arena, you can see there's not Stanley Cup banners hanging there, but it's Eastern Conference Championship. There's two of those. There's Patrick Division Champ, Metro Division, all these different Southeast Division Championship, Presidents Trophies, this and that for the Capitals, and the Wizards really have nothing. You know, the last time I think they won the East was 2015, and prior to that, it was like in the 80s. Like, just the team's not relevant. Right. So,
and I'm sure in other cities it's switched, right, where the NBA teams are winning, but more popular.
But NBA fans, I was talking to some people, some friends of mine, and who are NBA people, and they're like, NBA fans are generally not fans of teams, they're fans of players.
Yeah.
And because of the way the NBA works, players don't stay any one place for any given time. And you can have a team that's complete garbage, and then all of a sudden someone shows up and brings a bunch of his boys, and that team is a contender the very next year. So
I do think that switched in the Jordan era. I think, who was that old commissioner? It was David Stern.
Mm-hmm.
So before Jordan, I felt like people were more fans of teams, right? You were either a Lakers fan, Lakers and Magic fan, you were a Bird and a Celtics fan, Sean Kemp and the Sonics, Isaiah Thomas and the Detroit Pistons, actually the Pistons were the bad boys back then. They had the whole crew.
Yep.
Patrick
Ewing and the Knicks.
Yeah. Reggie Miller and the Pacers. Like, if you were a Reggie Miller fan, you were a Pacers fan.
Yeah.
Reggie Miller's Rick Spence. Like, that, you were team first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think David Stern saw the popularity of Michael Jordan go through the roof and the Jordan brand and him and all the Nike commercials. And I think he thought, in order to get more relevant, because the NBA still wasn't huge then.
Yeah.
I think he thought, we need to market the players versus the teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a wrong turn.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. I mean, the NBA viewing on TV has gone way down. I mean, they did a stat where the Iowa-LSU women's college basketball game this past week had higher ratings than the NBA Finals last year. Like, that's nuts.
Yep.
You have less viewers than women's basketball. And not that I'm saying anything derogatory about women's basketball, but generally women's basketball doesn't get a ton of eyeballs on it. Now, this was a little bit different because you had a repeat of last year's Final Four.
Yeah.
You got one of the greatest college basketball players of all time that broke the scoring record, and Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And it was her versus Angel Reese. And
the drama.
A whole bunch of stuff. But still, you still got out eyeballed by women's college basketball.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, even men's college basketball has more eyeballs right now than the NBA. The mm-hmm. NBA, I think, is in more trouble than they want it
yeah.
put on. For various reasons, but probably this is where we're going with this.
Yeah.
But the point was basically having a conversation about the greatest of all time. In the NBA, it's almost like personal attacks, right? People take personal offense. Whereas if I were to talk to you about the greatest of all time in baseball,
mm-hmm.
there's a ton of nuance there. I mean, first of all, the history of Major League Baseball being as popular as it is goes way, way back.
Yeah.
I mean, you got people that will never be off of Babe Ruth being the best baseball player of all time. And he was of his time. But people of the Willie Mays era would probably say Willie Mays was the best baseball player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Hank Aaron, who broke Babe Ruth's record, they might say he's the best player of all time. With that long of a popular history, I mean, the NBA goes way back, but it really didn't get super, super popular until I'd say about, I want to say right around the 80s. When yeah. the Magic and Bird thing kind of really mm-hmm. kicked it off, right?
Yeah.
I mean, NBA players weren't getting paid a ton of money. And like, if you haven't seen Winning Time on HBO, it kind of details, like, Irvin Johnson was, like, probably the first one to get a bag in the NBA.
Yeah.
Now, compared to today's NBA, it's nothing close. But back then, they weren't getting that kind of money. Now, baseball players weren't either, but the sport had such popularity. I mean, they were filling 40,000 stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA wasn't doing that. Yeah. They were having trouble getting TV rights sold. You know what I'm saying? So, I feel like baseball's history is a little bit longer as far as true fandom is going to mm-hmm. go. It's also why baseball cards are so much more popular than NBA, NFL, NHL hockey.
Yeah.
Any trading card, right?
Yeah.
Other than the game cards that the kids play with, like Pokemon's shit, going for millions upon millions. Like, what the fuck's going on with that, right?
And the stupid, like, Goblin Quest cards.
Sure, yeah. So I think when someone talks about their MLB all-time great, it's more of a civil conversation, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think with the NHL, it's somewhere in between. It's not completely civil, but it's not an all-out brawl.
Right.
And so that brings us to today's show.
Yeah. And I think so. And one of the differences with NHL is you have a lot of people who know who some of these guys are, but don't really know the game and don't know. They just, they're kind of Johnny Come Lately fans.
Right.
And they love to engage in the Crosby Ovechkin debate, which they're two completely different players. I go to hockey games and I'm the least fun person to go with because I sit there and I watch the game. I don't drink beer, I don't buy food. I get there early and I watch warm-ups, and then I go up and I sit in my seat and I sit there and I watch the game and I watch things happen. And I'll tell you, like, well, they're going to score. And, you know, what are you talking about? And then next thing you know, 4 or 5 seconds later, they score. Cause I watch the play breakdown. Like, that's how I've been playing hockey my whole life. Like, I love it. I watch, you know, I like to sit up high to watch hockey games. Sitting on the glass is cool, but to really see it, you got to sit up high. You can really see it. And if you sit in the ends, you can watch the north-south, like, NHL 94 view.
So that, I'm an end person.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to see an NHL game, I want to sit in the end.
Yeah.
Just like, if I go to an NFL game, I want to sit in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sit
get in the Madden
middle.
View.
Yes, I don't want to sit in the middle. Football is for me, football is the worst as far as the in-person experience goes. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I do know why. If you don't sit on the end, you don't get to see the plays develop.
Yeah.
Like, it looks completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you sit in the end, you see it. Like you said, it's the Madden view. And I prefer it to the at-home view sometimes. But the at-home view isn't dead-on side. They move it a little bit toward the defense because that's where the ball's going to go. Mm-hmm. Right? So you still get a little bit of the view, but you definitely miss, like, the outer portions of the play.
Yeah.
And
then you also miss a lot of the cool, blocking and stuff like that that happens, especially on a pass play, because the second the ball is released, they follow the ball.
Yeah.
So you're missing a lot of that in the trenches type stuff that happens, and you miss, like, until they show a replay, like, you'll miss. And the cool thing about football is you're able to replay it from a whole bunch of angles because there's, you know, 30 seconds between plays. You know, so you get to see all that stuff because they show it over and over again. But still, it's cool to see it as it's happening.
Yeah. And to me, the worst seats in an NFL game are low in the bowl between, I'd say, between the 35-yard lines.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I said I've sat there one time. I went to a preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the player section. I'm not going to say how. We were supposed to be there. That's where our tickets were. we didn't sneak in. And it was Ravens against Giants. So we were at M&T. And this is back when Tiki Barber was still playing. Mm-hmm. So this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, Tiki Barber is like 5'9",
mm-hmm.
right? And I remember... And I knew it was going to suck less than 5 minutes into the game. Tiki Barber took the handoff, and you literally couldn't see him.
Yeah.
He just disappeared in the mountain of...
Offensive
linemen.
Yeah.
And so you either... And you're looking for him to squirt out. Like, the only time you're actually going to see that play develop is if he pops out of that scrum.
Yeah.
And even on, like, sweep plays, like, if he popped out, if they did a sweep play away from you, you missed the whole play.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, and that's when I was like, this has got to be the worst in-person experience I've ever had for, like, I don't know why people would buy tickets there. And then I saw a game at FedEx Field a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was an Eagles-Redskins game, and we were in the end zone. Now, the viewing was much better. We were in the lower section of the upper bowl. So it wasn't super high, but we were still elevated, so we had a good viewing point.
Because
mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to sit the lower bowl at the end zone either, because I still think you miss a ton. So the viewing of the game was much better, but I was bored as hell.
Yeah.
Because back then they didn't have the huge Jumbotron, so they weren't doing the replays on the screen.
Yep.
I mean, you saw the cheerleaders doing
Jumbotron sucks anyway.
I mean, you're doing you saw the cheerleaders doing the kicks and stuff in between the plays.
Yeah.
And God forbid it was a TV timeout, because then that shit wasn't coming back for 15 minutes. Like, it was brutal.
Yeah.
Like, from the punt to the next play.
So I found sometimes NFL games are hard to watch at home because of the interruptions. Like, if you get a score in late half, and it's like score. TV timeout. They do the kickoff.
TV timeout.
Or no, they do the extra point. TV timeout.
Right.
Then they go and line up for the kickoff. TV timeout. 2 minute warning. TV timeout. And it's just like, will this please stop? Like, it's just, and then one of the teams calls a timeout. TV timeout. At least then you have like commercials to watch and you're comfortable and you can go take a piss and miss anything.
Or I go get a drink. Or I'll switch channels.
Right.
How about that?
Put on end zone or red zone.
Sure.
So, yeah. Another thing. So, I took my oldest to see the high school championship game at the Naval Academy. And he goes, Dad, where's the line? I said, what line? He said, yellow line. I said, it's only on TV, dude. He'd never been to a stadium before. He didn't understand that there was no line. He's like, well, how do I know where the first down is? You see those sticks over there? You kind of have to guess.
When that guy moves, you know it's good. You know this got over the first down marker. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. For my dollar, if I were to go to do live sports, hockey isn't probably number one. It's just all action all the time. It's not stopping.
Yeah.
Unless there's a penalty.
Yeah.
And that's when they go to TV timeout, that's when it stops. But for the most part, though, in a 15-minute period, it's 15 minutes, right?
20
minute period. Okay, so in a 20-minute period, I'm thinking high school. In a 20-minute period, though, I'd say you're getting at least 5 minutes, generally, of just uninterrupted play.
Oh, sometimes it'll go, it'll keep going.
Right.
And, you'll know, the second there's a stoppage in play, they're going to a commercial break. They got to get ad revenue in.
Yeah.
But that's the neat thing about hockey is it just doesn't stop until until there's a legit stoppage in play. It's not choppy. Baseball's choppy. But yeah, I hockey's my favorite live sport to watch.
I feel like hockey's doing the advertisements. They finally got the technology to catch up to them. And I don't know what it's like in the stadium now, but on TV, they do like what soccer's been doing for years. So on the boards, the white
ads on the boards, I hate them.
So do they change them?
No.
So on the TV.
So on the TV,
they can change them.
That on the TV, those ads you see on the boards are a projection on the TV, just like the yellow line. You'll see they'll even put they'll project an ad onto the ice, like in between the defensive zone faceoff circles and the blue line. There'll be an ad on the ice, and it doesn't affect the players when they skate over to the puck. It's not there in the stadium, and the ads on the boards. They used to have the ones that were like it was like a big like sheet of, I guess like some sort of sheet of fabric behind clear plastic, and they would rotate. Now they project ads onto the boards during the game. I can't stand it because I know it's not there. When you go to the stadium, it's all the traditional ads that are around the, you know, Ford or BMW or Budweiser or whatever it is.
But for me, I prefer that over stop and play just to run ads.
Yeah.
Like, let it run. I would almost go buy something that's on that built, that's on that, on the board there that they projected up there just because they didn't stop the play so I can watch it.
I'm just, and I'm also just a traditionalist.
You're a grump.
So, yeah.
When it comes to hockey, you take the grumpus cake.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not lying there. For me, like, and I'm not a big soccer fan, but like during the World Cup, I like the fact that they literally put the ad in the corner so that they can run it throughout the whole thing and they don't have to stop play for commercials. Yeah. I love that shit. That's innovative to me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like, yeah, I'm going to go buy five Snickers because they put that Snickers ad at the corner and they didn't interrupt the play.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That, I love Snickers. But, you know, it might have pushed me. It got me over the guilt of, I really shouldn't eat five Snickers. Well, guess what? I'm going to eat those five Snickers
because they let me watch that game. Soccer player
told me to. Yeah. Well, let me watch the game commercial free. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Snickers.
Yeah.
Here's $5.
One of the things that's been kind of like when they'll, in NFL during a stoppage and play, they'll like shrink the game screen and play a commercial and then expand it back out the second something happens. I don't really mind that.
I don't mind that either.
I almost wish they'd do it like, just do it like that, rather than having these prolonged commercial breaks and having to watch Jake from State Farm and, you know, whatever stupid Kelsey commercials there, or Pat Mahomes commercial, like, you know, the new Patriots.
Sure.
But I don't remember Tom Brady doing that much ad stuff.
He did. I mean, now he's doing the Hertz and the...
Yeah.
I'm sure he did Gillette. Like, I'm sure, because we're not in that area, we're not seeing a lot of the ads. But I bet you, like, when he was there up and doing his prime, I bet you he was on everything.
Yeah.
And all the commercials.
No, I don't mind the Justin Tucker Royal Farms commercials.
Well, everyone loves chicken.
Yeah. And everyone loves Justin Tucker.
And everyone loves Justin Tucker. except for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, they're douchebags.
Because they're assholes.
Yeah.
all right. So this brings us to the topic at hand. Although, I feel like we should leave the people hanging for another 5 minutes because we're trying something new tonight. I'm a UFC fight fan. I'm not necessarily this person's biggest fan. But our friends over at the Bourbon Junkies tried Conor McGregor's Irish whiskey called Proper 12. And they don't normally do Irish whiskey. But they said it didn't suck. I believe they tried the apple version, though. They actually liked the apple version, but they said this Proper 12 didn't suck.
Okay.
So, I was at the store looking for something in particular. They didn't have it, of course. But I saw this Proper 12. It's just regular Proper 12 Irish whiskey. And I was like, you know what? It was only like $20-$25, I think. It wasn't expensive. I was like, let me grab it, just see what it is. It's been simmering in the ice cubes over here. You've tried it. You've got it neat. What is your take on it?
I'm not a fan.
So again, and for us, this is Irish whiskey this time.
And I think I'm not a fan, so I was at a friend's, well, we were at a friend's house a couple weeks ago, and I drank some Irish whiskey there, and I poured it like I'd pour some bourbon. And then I took a sip, and I was like, man, I wish I could pour this back into the bottle. If I was at my house, I would have poured it back into the bottle. Whiskey that's not bourbon has this taste, this something that's going on, and I'm sure there's some name for it, but to me, it's kind of like, I imagine it's like what charcoal would taste like going on underneath. It's constantly there. It lasts. It's during and after.
Yeah, that's hanging on.
I
don't know what that is.
I don't like it. And every single whiskey has it that's not a bourbon.
So,
except for the Traveler, which is a blended whiskey, which I really liked.
I'm trying to find the right word for this. So, I think we did. We talk about, I don't know if we talked about this last week, week before. I've tried Jameson. I don't know if I like it because it's tasted different to me all three times I've tried it.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried Red Breast 12, which is also an Irish whiskey. My thing with Irish whiskey so far was that it's flavor wise, it reminds me of that Angel's Envy.
Mm-hmm.
This. This has less flavor than the Angel's Envy. Just hits flat.
Except the one flavor that it has, I don't like
it.
I don't know if you can. If charcoal is the right way to describe it.
I mean, if Dusty Barrel was ass, then it tastes like Dusty Barrel
butthole.
Right? The weird thing is, like, I don't dislike it though. I know I just said it tastes like ass. I mean, not that I'm eating ass all the time, but it's not offensive though. Like, it doesn't burn. Going in, it doesn't burn going down.
No, it's not. What proof is this?
I'm not sure.
Let me see.
I don't get it. like I'm drinking it and I don't understand it.
This says it was aged 4 years in bourbon barrel. Just buy bourbon. Sorry.
Yeah. I would love to know what the difference is between, like, what
makes 40%. It's only 80 proof.
It's all, well, maybe that's why it doesn't burn. But or taste like anything. But again, though, I'm going to go back to the Four Roses. Four Roses is 80 proof. Four Roses has some flavor to it.
Yeah.
This.
It can have flavor without burn. Coca-Cola is zero proof and tastes like something.
Yeah, but I mean, but Four Roses, it's 80 proof, has some flavor to it, doesn't burn in or out, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Four Roses is like the most wonderful thing, but if you're comparing an 80 proof to an 80 proof, I don't understand why people would choose this over something, and Four Roses is about the same price.
How much was this proper 12?
I believe it was like in the 20 to 25 range.
Okay.
Four Roses in that 20 to 25 yeah. range. I don't get the appeal of it. I'm not.
So I stopped at the liquor store today, and I bought one of my favorites, the old Fighting Cock, and which is a $21 bottle of bourbon. And there was a small distiller there doing a tasting, and I tasted it, and it was better than this, but it still has that weird undertone to it that I don't like, that bourbon doesn't have.
I took another sip. I couldn't tell you what this is.
Yeah.
Whatever that lingering taste is,
mm-hmm.
it's god-awful.
Yeah.
Like.
And so, it starts and ends that same way.
It just lingers.
Yeah. It's like a fart.
Like, I wish I could say what it... Like, I'm not good with the words, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure someone who is more up on the whiskeys and bourbons could tell you exactly what this tastes like.
It's buttered baseball glove with a hint of rat semen. What?
You do right?
Eating rat semen, right. First off. Like, that's what comes to mind?
I mean, actually... What comes to mind is, who jerked the rat off? Like, how'd you get to that
point? And why?
Yeah, how'd you? I mean, I don't understand how we got
explain the process, please.
I forget what movie it was. You ever see the one where they kind of jerk off the frog? Oh, it was a Beer Fest? Where they jerk off the frog?
How do you jerk a frog? A frog doesn't have a dick.
Right, but the scientist guy with the puffy, with the he's the Jewish guy with the Jewish afro. And he's just and he's a scientist, and they go and get him for Beer Fest, and he's just like sliding his thumb up and down the frog, and the frog's going. And as they're talking, he's either going faster or slower, and the frog's like, he's either going faster or slower. Beer Fest, good movie. I don't. Yeah, it, honestly, this probably tastes like what the guy jerking the frog off would probably drink. I don't know. This is horrible. I mean, I'm going to finish it because it's not offensive.
Well, I gave myself a very ungenerous pour on purpose. Oh, yeah.
No, trust me. I didn't put much in here. So now here's what I mean. So the funny part about this is we cracked that bottle. I'm going to try and find anybody I can find that likes Irish whiskey, and they will get a free bottle on me. Because I don't want to keep that in the house. I do want, like, here's the thing, though. I do want to try... Because I want to try another Irish whiskey. Because Redbreast 12 is good, but it's also aged 12 years.
Yeah.
And this I got to figure out the Jameson conundrum. Do I like it? Do I not like it? I got to figure out.
If I remember correctly, Jameson has the same weird under. They all do. That even that good whiskey, that stuff was going for $55 a bottle at the tasting today. And that stuff had the same. It wasn't as strong, but it's the same underlying thing that I don't like.
Every time I drink it, I put on that face that a kid puts on when he doesn't want to eat his vegetables.
You're like you drink like the kid that has to drink Dime Tap.
Yeah,
just pinch your nose, dude.
It's not good.
Like this is supposed to be enjoyable, and it tastes like a hangover.
Yeah,
like that's how a hangover tastes, just like that.
Like if this is my drink at the end of the night, I feel like I'd be upset. Yeah, I mean, this is horrible. I'd write a very strongly worded email. Okay.
So we should try the Gentleman Jack later.
Or we'll save that for another show.
Yeah.
I need to let that process and just get the fuck out of my mouth. I need something that, like, I don't know. Maybe I'll suck on an ice cube. But anyway, now that we got that out of the way, don't buy Proper 12. Conor McGregor, thanks for an ass product, dickhead.
Right.
By the way, I think that other than Tin Cup... We probably tried, 40 bourbons or so?
Yeah.
We've only disliked two.
Right.
And I'm even willing to go back to the Tin Cup.
I will try Tin Cup again.
Just to see. Because, you know, we tried that one fairly early on.
Yeah, as your palate matures,
sure.
You can discern different things.
If it still tastes like gas, we'll let you know. Because we're honest here.
Right.
These are honest reviews.
Conor McGregor's not paying us anything.
No.
And he doesn't owe his money.
But. I'll be honest with you. If he did pay us, though, that shit would be amazing. I would change my tune real fucking quick. I do like the sound of it pouring, but pour something else and just say, this shit's great. Because we don't do video for that exact reason.
Like ginger ale.
Or yeah. It can be lying.
Whatever.
Honestly, it probably kicked. It probably packed the same kick. Of almost water.
Mm-hmm.
There just wasn't, other than that garbage taste, there was no taste.
Yeah.
There was no burn. But again, though, if it's going to get you drunk,
I mean, a lot of shit will get you drunk.
Yeah.
The Fireball will get you drunk.
Look, I'm not saying in the $20, $25 range, this is the go-to. We've tasted plenty of other good $20 to $25 whiskeys. This ain't it, man. I would not plunk money down on that again. But back to the NHL. All right, let's set the ground rules. Top five NHL players. We're not talking franchises, just players.
Okay.
Do we want to try position? Now, if we do position, I'm not saying do left wing, right wing, center, because I don't know who played what in that depth. I would say offensive skater, defensive skater, goaltender.
Okay. So, yeah. So, goalie, forward,
defense.
Defense.
Yeah.
So.
And then we also, I would say we also
should take Gretzky out of it.
He's number one.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, at least for me, I'm gonna pull my old school Jordan thing. He's the number one.
Yeah. Now, I will say, though, that I think there is one player who, had he stayed healthy and, this player never played more than 70 games in one season, would have given Gretzky a run for his money.
Lemieux?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can go with that. As much as I hate to put a Pittsburgh Penguin in this list.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%. Yeah. And because I remember Lemieux very vividly because I'm a Rangers fan. Now, I couldn't tell you half the players on the team right now because I've just kind of fallen out of it. But back then, I'd say I watched almost every game.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little harder back then because we didn't have all the channels we do now. But
yeah,
when they were on, I would watch the Rangers. I was checking the box scores for them in the newspaper.
Yeah. And hockey on a regular boob tube TV was nowhere near as good as it is on a HD, 4K, no. OLED.
It is amazing.
85-inch screen. Yeah.
It's amazing now.
It's almost like these new TVs were made for hockey.
It really isn't. I mean, hockey is growing. I know it's a major four sports league in this country, but it's growing. And I definitely think TV is a large reason for that. Mm-hmm. The bigger TVs got a lot clearer.
Yeah.
That being said, okay. So our one and two are pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Gretzky, Lemieux, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is where it gets a little tricky. And this is because none of my players are going to be recent.
Yeah, most of my guys come from the 90s, which to me, early 90s, that was the golden era. Hockey was so good then.
The problem with that era is there's so many guys that were the same.
Yeah, and then another thing, you'd have to make an adjustment for, like, say Gretzky and Lemieux. Gretzky and Lemieux in today's NHL score a ton more points.
Sure.
Because there's no clutching and grabbing, there's no interference. All that stuff was legal when they played. Now it's a penalty, so these guys are able to escape more freely.
So there's very few players in today's game that I think would translate to the older game.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Ovechkin is one of them because he was more of a physical forward.
Mm-hmm.
He took the pounding.
Yeah.
He gave the pounding. Right. Well, he invited the contact.
Yeah.
And he's been fairly durable.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's probably one of the players that could play back then. I don't know. I don't think his numbers would be as high. But they'd be close.
Yeah.
I don't think there'd be too much of a drop-off. That being said, there's guys like Brett Hull, Jeremy Roenick.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's certain guys in that group that are kind of the same.
Yeah, but I'm not putting Roenick in with Hull. Hull is much better. Hull was the St. Louis Blues in the 90s were an offensive machine. Brett Hull scored 92 goals. I mean,
Roenick was Chicago though.
Yeah, I think Brett Hull was better.
Plus, he was a center.
Yeah.
Hull was a winger.
Well, and if you were to take that, center has two-way responsibilities where winger really doesn't.
Yeah.
And Brett Hull had Adam Oates just feeding him.
Right.
That was his setup guy. But no, Brett Hull was a freaking, I mean, that dude was a goal-scoring machine.
And then you had Peter Forsberg,
mm-hmm.
Joe Sakic, though. So yep. I think that kind of negates a little bit of greatness of both of them because they both played together. Kind of like Timo Solani and Paul Kariya,
yeah.
Yeah, I think when greats play together, it kind of hurts their legacy a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The exception being Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah.
Jagr was a phenomenal player in that.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is that Jagr had such, like, stuck around for so long. If an NHL team would sign him to a contract right now, he'd play.
And to be honest, would it? I don't think he'd be your last guy on the bench.
No. He'd probably score. If he played 84 games, he'd probably score 20 goals.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say 15, but yeah, I could see him doing 20 in a season. Yeah. So I'm trying to think of who another two of my three. Marc Messier with the Rangers was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You referenced Adam Oates, but Adam Oates played with the Rangers for a while there too. I don't put Adam Oates in that category.
No, Adam Oates was a setup guy. He was kind of like Nick Backstrom was before he left. Not that there's anything wrong with the setup guy. Wayne Gretzky scored far more assists than he did goals.
Just happened to have a shit ton of goals, too.
Yeah. So, you know, Messier, I think Messier having won a cup with New York, well, he won some with Edmonton after Gretzky left. And then he signed with the Rangers, he won another one. And then he went to Vancouver, and just, it was awful.
He was old by then.
Yeah.
He was done.
Yeah. But
I think Messier gets in my top five.
Okay.
I'm not gonna look back as far like Bobby Hull or Bobby Orr.
Yeah. Well, there's Bobby Hull too. That's Brett Hull's dad.
But I'm not. I think anyone's gonna put Bobby Orr in their top five.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bobby Orr revolutionized the way defense is played.
Yeah.
He was the first offensive defenseman. I'd put Brian Leetch in that. If you're going to go offensive defenseman, I'm putting Brian Leetch top five. Brian Leetch scored a shitload of points with the Rangers.
Him and Chris Chelios.
Yeah.
Those were the two that stick out to me for that time. No, who was the guy in Detroit, though?
Nicholas Lindstrom?
No. Fuck. Phil Housley?
Phil Housley played for the Capitals and the Jets.
Who was the...
And the Blues, I think.
There was a dude in Detroit. I think he wore 77, but that could have been Chelios because he went there for...
Paul Coffey.
Paul Coffey.
Yep. Paul Coffey played with Gretzky in Edmonton, too.
So he went to Detroit, and he played with Yzerman and Fedorov.
Yeah. He won cups with... he won cups with Edmonton, Pittsburgh, and Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're still with offensive guys. We're bouncing a little back and forth. Yzerman, Fedorov, do you put them in your top five?
Yes.
One or both? And if so, which one? If it's only one. Yzerman had a lot of assists. Fedorov was a freaking sniper of a shooter.
See, then you got to cut other people out because then you have dudes like Brian Trottier.
I'd throw him out.
Brian Trottier scored a ton of points with the Islanders.
See, for me, the Islanders were insignificant.
The Islanders won five Stanley Cups.
Yeah, before the 80s.
Yeah, in the 80s.
Early 80s.
They were the big team before the Oilers. Hmm. Mike Bossy was the first rookie to score 50 goals in his rookie year. That dude was sick, too. So, that's the type of thing, like, it's really hard. Like, if you know the sport, then you know Trottier scored 1,425 points over 1,279 games. So he's over a point per game. So it's like, how do you go and get these guys and, you know, cut one or the other? Yzerman, though, I think is the leader. Steve Yzerman was the leader of that team.
Yep.
But
do you put him as an all-time great? It's kind of like, you know, Derek Jeter is listed as like one of the all-time great baseball players.
Yeah.
In Yankee history. When you look back on his stats and everything else, outside of the championships, his stats don't say all-time great.
Right.
As far as player, right?
Mm-hmm.
All-time great Yankee, all-time great winner. But stats-wise, probably didn't rank that high.
Yeah.
I feel like Yzerman's more in that category. Great leader, great player at the time. Mm-hmm. Is he a top five hockey offensive player of all time? I would say no. I would put Fedorov above him, actually.
I don't know. I'm looking at... So, Yzerman's 1,500... 14 games, 1,755 for points. Fedorov 1,248 and 1,179 points. So Fedorov wasn't even a point per game.
Yeah, but a lot of Yzerman's points were assists.
See, I don't have a problem with that.
And the problem for me with assists in hockey is they do the double assist.
Right, you can get two per goal.
Yeah.
So, but see, the other thing, I'm going Yzerman over Fedorov. Because Yzerman's also the leader of that team, and that he was the captain, like he was the guy. You know, he's the reason they brought Probert in to be the goon for them. Like, it wasn't necessarily, you know. Now, Fedorov, better plus minus. So,
yeah,
you know.
Now, another player we haven't talked about, and I don't really know where he fits, is a guy who played for the Stars. He played for the Minnesota North Stars and the Dallas Stars, Mike Modano.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I and look, a lot of my knowledge, though, is going back to the old EA NHL 94 game, yeah. right? Like, who did I want to play with?
Yep.
And these are the guys. I feel like all the guys we mentioned outside of Gretzky and Messier,
mm-hmm.
I feel like they get mushed together for me.
Well, it's one thing when you're playing such a huge shadow of that guy.
Right.
With, I think, the exception of Lemieux. They are. I mean, you have other dudes like Luke Robitaille. You know, no, I'm not putting Luke Robitaille top five.
No.
But Robitaille was a good hockey player.
He was.
And, you know, so, but I think if I were to go by top five all-time forwards, minus Gretzky, Lemieux and Jágr, I'm going to throw Stevie Y in there. And now I got two more left. So it starts to get a little bit more. So you start going like, do I go Pavel Bure?
For a stretch, that you couldn't beat. Yeah. That dude was amazing.
Do you go Eric Lindros in his prime?
Too short of a career.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
So, yeah, no, I'm not putting him because he and Scott Stevens wrecked him.
Fucking knocked
Eric him Lindros out. Is another one. Had Lindros played in today's era, he would have been amazing. But the cheap shots. You know, now Scott Stevens is going to land on my top. He's one of my top defensemen, but you know, he's definitely like, you know, so throw like Pavel Bure in there, and I'm just going from the '90s, and then I'm gonna chuck Bossy in there from the '80s.
See, I'm gonna go somewhere, and you're probably gonna be surprised I'm even gonna do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting Ovechkin in there.
Okay.
I mean, as much as I don't think he's going to break this Gretzky record,
he is.
I'm not naive enough to think that he's not a top five offensive player. I mean, no, the dude's about to break Gretzky's. If you're either going to be a close two,
yeah,
or you're going to break it.
So then, with now that I'm coming back more forward because I forgot about the modern era, I'm going to pull out. I'm going to leave Lemieux. I'm going to leave Jágr. I'm going to throw Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin in there.
Crosby?
Absolutely.
Let me ask this question. Is Crosby injury prone? Or does he have enough seasons under his belt where he played seasons that it doesn't matter?
Crosby's played in 1,265 games. And he is, over those games, he scored 1,586 points. So 589 to 997 goals to assists. So, you know, his first season was 05-06. Go through. I mean, he has been banged up. I mean, 1 year, 2011-2012, he only played 22 games. So.
He came.
He's only played one complete season.
Eighty games is considered complete, right?
Well, I think there's 82 All right. So games in a season.
I'm going to say anything over 75. Okay, if you had a day off or two, right? Yeah. A couple games. I mean, 14. 14 out of 18 seasons. No, that's not right. Let's see, 14 out of like, or 13 out of like 18 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
5 seasons banged up, although a lot of those came in the last 5 years. And he had a couple years. He had a 3-year stretch where he played 41, 22, 36.
Yeah.
Then he had another 3-year stretch where it was 41-55.
What season was the 22?
That was 2011-12.
That was a lockout year, I think.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. So then, but the season before that was 41.
Mm-hmm.
Season after that was 36. So that's...
Yeah, but I think, I mean, I don't think you really have a conversation without considering the guy. He's won 2 Stanley Cups.
Right.
Maybe, is it 2 or 3? I think it's 3.
Is there another person in the Crosby-Ovechkin era that you would consider?
Auston Matthews.
See, for me, the name recognition isn't there.
Yeah.
I've never heard of the dude.
Plays for the Maple Leafs.
But, so, keep in mind, when I say Crosby-Ovechkin era,
mm-hmm.
they came in the league a long time ago. Is this Matthews kid fairly new?
Yes. He has 8 seasons.
Eight seasons is still too new for me to put you in an all-time category.
Matthews is a goal scorer.
Is he?
Last year,
Is he a McDavid level, though? Because Connor McDavid, I've heard of.
Right. So, Auston Matthews last year scored 63 goals and 36 assists. McDavid, who at the All-Star game was nasty, that dude, 9 NHL seasons, in 22-23, he had 153 points with 64 goals and 89 assists. I mean, that dude's nasty. So if we're going to go modern, then you're looking at, are you going to do Crosby, Ovechkin, McDavid, Matthews? Like,
so here's the thing. I'm saying irregardless of era, this is top mm-hmm. 5 of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a McDavid kid, though. He's only had 1 season under 100 points.
Mm-hmm.
That's consistent and impressive.
And then he plays with a guy who's kind of like the second guy, who'd be a stud on any team he played with, Leon Draisaitl.
Mm.
And Leon Draisaitl is, he's from, he's I think he's German. He plays with Oilers. So, you know, he's had 400-point seasons as well.
I just looked at his spelling of his name. There's no shot of it. Everybody would spell that.
No.
There's a lot of, there's vowels and stuff in there.
Yeah.
And all over the place. I'm like, dude, you gotta shrink that down.
Yep.
Like, help us out.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking for him. Yeah, he is German, by the way. Draisaitl.
Yeah. It's like he's got vowels where they don't need to be and no vowels where they should be.
Right, and
they
a T and an L together. what are we doing here? And then his name is Leon.
Right.
That's not German. Like, this dude's not... This is... I can't get down with him.
Yeah.
No. Everything's wrong.
Yeah, it's... See, I have a big... Trying to limit to top 5 because, like, when you follow the sport the way I have for as long as I have, it gets... There are so many guys that you think...
Gotta do it, though.
Could be honorables and in there, but...
Nope, you gotta have a 5.
I don't.
You do?
No, I don't.
I'm forcing it.
Okay. But
it's the title of the episode.
You didn't want to put Sidney Crosby in there, so...
Yeah.
Like...
But here's the thing. I got Gretzky, Lemieux.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting Messier in there. I'm putting Ovechkin in. I only got 1 spot left. I mean, Crosby or, or Yzerman or...
I'm going Crosby over Yzerman.
Yzerman's got his 2 cups too, though.
Yzerman's got more than 2.
Even better.
Yeah, I'm going, okay, top 5. So if Gretzky and Lemieux are taken, and I'm going modern era just based on points alone, I'm taking these new guys. I'm taking Ovechkin, Crosby, and I'm going McDavid.
Different eras, though. You can't go on points alone. Like, I mean, you had guys that you had legit fights.
You just said I had to take 5.
Yeah, you got to take 5, but not like.
Are we doing 5 per era?
No, it's 5 total, but you got to take into consideration when they played. Like you said, if Lindros played now, he'd be unbelievable.
Yeah.
But he didn't. And I don't have anything to base it on.
But that's why I'm saying, like, Stevie Y with less points for me maybe edges out a Sidney Crosby. Because Stevie Y played in a brutal era.
Yeah, I don't think I'm still going Crosby.
I could see that, though. I mean, Crosby would probably be my sixth. I'm surprised you're putting him there, though.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being is because I figured team bias would come into play.
I can eliminate my bias.
Like, for me, I feel like if I had to go with, like, a top five.
If football, I had to, I might even put Crosby in there before I put Ovechkin in there, because Crosby can play defense and Ovechkin does not. And modern era Ovechkin just standing there in that face-off circle waiting to fire off that one-timer.
That's more as of late.
Yeah, he's kind of a one-trick pony.
Right now, but he's also he's almost 40.
Yeah.
What are you, 37?
Yeah, he's close.
Do you see what's happening? You've got me defending the guy I'm betting against.
Yeah.
For crying out loud. All right. Defenseman, I feel like this should be pretty cut and dry.
They're a little easier.
Al McSorley.
Okay. Marty McSorley.
Who's Al?
Al Iafredi and Marty McSorley.
That was Al Iafredi. But I'm not putting.
Iafredi was a good player, had a big shot, but other than that, I mean.
Chris Chelios.
Chelios, Leach, Scott Stevens, won a bunch of cups. Mm-hmm.
You doing Housley or no?
With Detroit? No.
No?
I'm not doing Housley. Are we going as far back as Bobby Orr?
Ken, sure.
He revolutionized the position, so you got to put him in there.
So we got one left. Because right now we're pretty much in agreement.
Yeah. I'm trying to think modern era.
This is going to sound stupid. Zdeno Chara.
Zdeno Chara. I was just going to say it.
And the reason why is intimidation factor only.
Yeah.
This 6'7 motherfucker on skates.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just intimidating the fuck out of people.
Yeah. But then Chara is like, the dude's like, he went and got his. He became a certified financial planner and did all this. Like, the dude is crazy smart.
It was like the NFL lineman who was a fucking MIT engineer.
Yeah.
I forgot the guy's name.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yep.
Minor role is a fucking Nobel laureate and a surgeon now?
Yeah.
He said, fuck football. I'm mm-hmm. going to go cut open people's brains.
There's that dude that played for the Ravens that is a mathematician.
That guy,
Yeah.
John Urschel, I think was his name. Yeah. I'm going to go solve equations and shit.
Yeah.
Fuck this football thing.
No CTE for him.
Yeah, none.
Unless it knocked him smart.
He literally took his, I think he got 4 or 5 years in the NFL and he said, fuck you, I'm out.
Yeah.
Took his money and said, I'm going to go do this math thing.
And I don't blame this guy.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Football's hard. Like, if I could cash in 4 or 5 seasons and be done, deuces, I'm out.
Especially if you bank all that money.
Yeah.
You live in your mom's basement, not giving a shit.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Some of these guys. Now, goalies.
So, I got to go. I mean, obviously, being a Rangers fan, Mike Richter's my one.
Okay.
Lundqvist might be my two.
Okay.
Marty Brodeur. Just because he was a different cat than all those guys.
I'm probably pulling all from the 90s on this one.
Patrick Waugh.
Yep.
And I got to do one more. So, man, I got like three dudes, though.
Okay, who are they?
Ed Belfour.
Okay.
With the old Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of the dude's name. The Canadiens guy. Maurice Richard?
No, Maurice Richard was the goal-scoring trophy is named after him.
Oh, who's the fucking... It was Waugh's...
Ken Dryden?
No, it was Waugh's, like, idol. And I can't remember the dude's name.
So, you're going way back as Jacques Plante.
That's the guy.
The first goalie to ever wear a mask.
Yeah. He was amazing from the video footage I saw.
Uh-huh.
He was amazing with the Canadiens and with the Rockies.
Well,
Avalanche, sorry.
I think he won a total of 4 Stanley Cups. He won 2 with Montreal.
Yeah.
One his rookie season in the 80s, another one in 90, the year before the Rangers won. So 93.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Rangers won in 94. And then 2 with Colorado.
And yet, I mean, with Toronto, you had Felix Potvin.
And the defenseman you're talking about is not Paul Coffey, it's Ray Bourque.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, no, he played for the Bruins. And
Phil Housley, though, was Detroit, wasn't he?
I only know Phil Housley of St. Louis, Washington, and Winnipeg.
Who am I thinking about?
Ray Bourque played for Boston and Colorado.
I don't know who I'm thinking about.
Coffey may have played in Detroit, though, and also wore 77.
That's the only thing I'm thinking about. But I forgot about Bourque, by the way.
Yeah. Coffey won a Stanley Cup with Edmonton, Pittsburgh, and I think he won one with Detroit.
I thought he won one with Detroit.
Yeah. Well, Scotty Bowman left Pittsburgh and went to Detroit and won a bunch of cups with Detroit. So he took a lot of those dudes with him.
So who? All right.
So goalies for me.
And by the way, honorable mention. I don't know why I love this dude, Andy Moog.
Yeah, yeah.
I love his name, Andy Moog.
That dude. Well, so
name car parts
and pray for him because he's actually. He has some sort of really bad cancer, like stage 4. But no, I liked Andy Moog a lot. He was so small. Hmm. See, now back then goalies were small. Now they're giants.
They were super athletic back then.
Yeah. Now because the style, the way this, so I shun a lot of modern goalies, not because they're not good and I don't appreciate them.
Don't like it.
But the way they play. They play this blocking style where it's all based on, again, analytics ruining yet another sport. And that the Flyers have a goalie now that's 6'7". And they wear dumb numbers like 88 and 87. No, goalie numbers are in the 30s. It's 27 through 39 or 1. That's what goalies wear. I'm having a get-off-my-lawn moment. Sorry. But they don't wear dumb numbers like 70. That's what Holtby wore. In any case, most of my top five, if not all of them, come from the 90s. Waugh, Brodeur, Belfour, Hasek.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Yeah.
Buffalo. I remember more from Buffalo than Detroit, but Detroit, too.
Mm-hmm. So Hasek started in Chicago, then went to Buffalo, and then finished in Detroit.
He left Chicago. He had to get out of Chicago because of Belfour, I think. Belfour was entrenched in Chicago.
Yeah. Belfour finally won a Stanley Cup in Dallas.
Yes.
So there's a great podcast called When Goalies Were Weird, and it focuses on all those guys. But I love Ron Hextall. I can't put him in there because he never won a Stanley Cup as a player.
So Ron Hextall was a weird goalie. Ron Hextall would make the most amazing saves in tight.
Mm-hmm.
But then, out of nowhere, someone would like throw a knuckle puck in from the blue line and, mm-hmm. and it would just go in. Or something would just like go between his legs. Like the easy shot from the point went between his legs. Like there was no blocker, and nobody blocking his vision. Like, he would just let in like a
just super softy.
A super softy. But, like, the guy would make the most amazing save. He'd go pipe to pipe and mm-hmm. glove save one, just robbing someone. Yeah. And then he would just – and then he'd lose the game in overtime on a fucking floater.
Yep.
Like, God damn, man.
And I am going to pull for my last goalie, modern era guy, Marc-Andre Fleury. The flower is freak. I love the guy. He's, like, the NHL nice guy. Like, I just love him. I mean, the Golden Knights in their inaugural season went to the Stanley Cup Finals, lost to my beloved Capitals, but a big part of that was Fleury.
But he won one with them, didn't he?
No.
Because then they won it the first year they were a franchise.
No, they lost. They lost to Washington the first year they were a franchise. They won the Cup last year, and the goalie was not Fleury. Fleury had already left. Because Fleury went to Chicago and then Minnesota.
I could have sworn the Knights won it. At least first or second season.
No, they just won it last year.
But they didn't also win it back then?
Mm-mm.
Huh. Don't mind the dead air.
Yeah, I guess I could talk.
Yeah, shit. The funny part is, I bet you if you ask someone who won the championship last year, most people wouldn't know.
No.
You want to know why? Because it was Vegas against the Florida fucking Panthers.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't like the Golden Knights. Their pregame shit, it looks like something out of medieval times.
Different.
I don't like it.
Different. You got to spice it up.
And the other thing is, Vegas, all this move to Vegas, it all has to do with sports gambling, which I'm not into at all. The town, it's a trash town, trash people. There's no loyalty there. No one in Vegas is from Vegas. They're all transplants from somewhere else. The second that team's not good anymore, they're going to be giving away Golden Knights tickets to, you know, when you go and roll a craps game at a casino.
So here's my theory on everything going to Vegas. It centers on the whales. So for people that don't know how Vegas works, these hotels, the concierge has a Rolodex of guys who just, they bet over $1 million at a time. Not per hand, but mm-hmm. they'll put $1 million on the table and they're going to bet that. And the more you do, the more you bet, the bigger the whale you are. They fly these guys in.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't bet, then they don't get flown in again. So they know the deal. They know if they're getting flown in, they're getting comp the room, they're getting comp meals, but they are expected to put down $1 million or more on the table and risk it. Some of these dudes are putting down like hundreds of billions. That's a different world, right? Yeah. But I think these casinos lobbied these big sports industries to uh-huh. bring their teams there so that they could attract more of these people. Yeah. And they're going to say, hey, look, we're going to fly in, be at the airport in 30 minutes, bring three of your buddies.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to comp you four tickets to the Vegas Golden Knights. We're going to comp you the suite. We're going to comp you a meal. We're going to put you up in a suite at the Golden Knights game. Or we're going to get you a suite at the Raiders game. We're going to comp all this. Because for them, a suite, if it costs, what, 30 grand for the game?
This guy's going to drop a mil.
This guy, well, they're not going to do it for the guy dropping a mil.
Yeah.
But they're going to do it for the guy dropping 30 mil.
Yeah.
Right? 30 mil versus 30 Gs. What, you're going to drop 10%?
Yeah.
Or 5%?
1%?
You're going to put 1% into it to get him in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And if he drops 30 million, he don't care.
Yeah.
He's going to come back and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because you gave him the penthouse suite, steak dinners. You're probably spending a total of 100 grand.
Yeah.
But you pulled in 30 mil.
Yeah.
Because the house is always going to win, no matter how many times that guy's. He might. In fact, sometimes you want him to win.
Yeah.
So because you want him to come back.
Yeah, if he loses everything, he's not going to have any money left.
You're going to spend 100 grand to get him to drop 1 mil, 10 uh-huh. mil, 30 mil, whatever it is. And for them, the comp ticket is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to bring two to three of them in at a time. I mean, and to me, that's the real reason why franchises are going to Vegas. I don't think those stands will be full of, especially a baseball stadium. I don't see it ever being full.
No. I mean, well, who wants to go sit in the desert and watch a baseball game?
Well, I mean, I guess it's all indoors, but
yeah.
Nobody. It's going to be 100 freaking degrees outside.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you'll be inside in air conditioned.
Yeah. So
it's the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
Being not a gambler and just not getting it, because I'm like, I don't care how much money I have. I'm not going to go there. And now, if I had a friend who was a whale, yeah, I'll go with you. I'm not playing one game.
Well, the other part of it is you go to Vegas, right? You're going to you're taking the family to Vegas. So you and your wife, you're going to Vegas. You want to go see a show, maybe go see, you know, maybe Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. Who knows? She's doing a residency out there.
Yeah.
Well, that's one night, you know, and it's not cheap. So maybe you go see the Las Vegas A's the next day because you're there a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
It's added entertainment for them to bring into the city for people that maybe don't like to go see a show. They don't want to go see Britney Spears. A lot of the older acts, like the Wayne Newtons, the Shares, they're dying out.
They don't want to see the Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah, Celine Dion's going on her way out. Magicians don't hold the same weight they used to. So what are you doing to bring people in? So rather than hosting these people and paying these big dollars to these entertainers, maybe you funnel the money to the baseball or the football or the hockey teams, and you bring them in.
Yeah.
And that's the, and now you're comping tickets for that.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Did we ever pick a fifth goalie?
Yeah, I did. Fleury.
Fleury. I could agree on that. Which makes it a sucky topic, because who the fuck wants to two dudes who agree on five? But I also named like nine.
Yeah, well, so I mean, cheated. You put Richter in there. I didn't have Richter.
I like two Mike cups. Richter.
He's won.
He didn't get two.
Mm-mm. Rangers only won one. He only played for the Rangers.
Damn it!
Rangers have not won a cup since '94.
That was a glorious year.
Yeah. That was his one. But I like the guy. I mean, so athletic, so fast. You know, small dude. But
the funny thing about him, so he had a backup named John Van Beesbrook.
Uh-huh. The Beezer.
Who was also quite good.
Yeah.
And then he got taken by the Florida Panthers in the expansion draft.
And then went to the Stanley Cup Finals with the Panthers.
Yeah.
And lost to, I think, Colorado.
But, I mean, you also got a... Richter had a 1996 World Cup of Hockey victory for the U.S. Yeah, USA.
Yeah.
Beat Canada.
Yeah. But, yeah, I like Richter. I just didn't put him in there because, I mean, the guys I have in there have won cups. So that's kind of my, you know, like, I put Curtis Joseph in there. And Cujo was awesome.
He was.
So...
Great, though. You forget, the name doesn't, it doesn't come to mind right away. Mm-hmm.
No, I did not put Grant Fuhr in there. Grant Fuhr won a bunch of cups in Edmonton.
He did.
So.
But he did not win them in Buffalo.
Nor did he win them in Calgary, St. Louis, or Toronto.
Did he go to Buffalo?
He did.
I thought so.
He played for, I'm not sure which order, but he played for the Flames, the Flames, Sabres, Blues, and Maple Leafs after Edmonton.
Really?
So
NHL players were loving that free agency.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, all right, that was our top five offense, defense, goalies in the NHL. Let us know what your top five is. Let us know what you think. Tell us how stupid we are, how good we are at picking. Either way, let us know. Thank you to Adam Chubbuck, who is a Caps fan. By the way, I believe he's at the Caps game tonight. We're recording on 4-4. Actually, I was like, hey, you want to come on the show? We were going to talk about real estate and finance tonight. And he was like, nah, got to go to the Caps game. Sorry, guys. So
I would have made the same choice.
Yeah. So TacMD.com, go talk to Adam. Find out if now's the right time for you to buy or sell a home with this ever-changing real estate market and interest rate market. We appreciate you listening. Please rate us on the Apple Podcast platform or Spotify platform, and we will talk to you next time.